as we approach the Easter season, we did a lot when it came to Advent leading up to Christmas, and Becky and I thought that it would be wonderful to put that same emphasis as we lead up to the Easter season. So we've created a resource that's on the Fruitful and Fearless website, Waiting for the Lamb, and it comes with family worship cards that go along with it, and also a really cute printable that has a lamb and little countdown. We use little bubble markers to mark off the days leading up to Easter, and we wanted that to be available for you this Easter season as you wait for the lamb as a countdown. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I'm your host, Brandon, today with my partner, Becky. I'm just kidding. I think that's gross. But here with my wife, Becky, and it is our turn to share our story. So this is take two because our youngest woke up and it's currently 10:01 p.m. Central Time. So fingers crossed she doesn't wake up because her cries threw off my mindset and or my train of thought and derailed 3.5 minutes of recording. So hopefully this goes smoother. And but yeah, here's Becky and she's going to get us started. So take it away.
No. Okay. So Brandon and I met on a mission trip, which I listened to Ben and Kate's story and I had completely forgotten that they had met on a mission trip. So I thought that was pretty cool that they just shared their story last week and they met on a mission trip and we did too. Mm-hmm. So we met down in Panama City Beach, which it's funny because your group was from Missouri. Our group was from Illinois. Mm-hmm. And you guys technically came to the church that Saturday morning and we drove down. But you and I did not meet until Monday night was the first time I remember actually meeting you. Like we were in the same group. Mm-hmm. There was 40 people, 35, 40 people.
Yeah, I definitely noticed Becky, but as in like I saw her. Oh, but that's cute. But yeah, we didn't talk or anything until Monday. And the way our groups got connected, I'm from Northwest Missouri and about 30 minutes north of Kansas City and grew up in a small town, graduated with 58 people. And Becky says she's from a small school and she graduated with a couple hundred students. Yeah. Okay. Over 100. I knew everything about every student in my class. And, you know, graduation was a little bit traumatizing because you spent 13 out of 17 or 18 years with the same people. And then all of a sudden, you know, I talk to 4 or 5 of them now. So Becky is not from a small town. She's from a mid-sized town that we currently live in. And, but my, when I went to school, I went to a D2 school about 15 minutes away or so. And my BSU director, which I was involved in, was one of her dad's former collegiate students when her dad was in collegiate ministry. And so they had stayed connected or reconnected at some point. And our groups for spring break decided to go together. So we had, I forget how many we had come with us. I don't know, it was 25 or 30. Yeah, we had most of the group.
Between 8 and 10 students from here.
Yeah, we took my BSU director's church. They had a larger church van that was more of a bus style, but smaller than a school bus, bigger than a 15-passenger, and we basically filled it up. And then Becky's crew fit in a 15-passenger, and we drove both of those down together and on Saturday, and we rode down in different vehicles.
Yeah, you got on the bus. I drove down in the van, but before we talk about how we met on the trip, do you want to share some of your any other parts of your backstory you want to share?
Sure. I was saved in fifth grade. Went to my parents and I, or my family, not just my parents. And I'm not an only child. I have a younger brother and a younger sister. And we went to the first church I remember going to was this big mega church style called Pleasant Valley Baptist outside of Kansas City. And remember very little from there. And then when I was in fifth grade, I was around tax season because I remember my first time going to the church was right after my parents did their taxes.
Hold on. A detail about Brandon is that his memory is like a lockbox. I love that you remember right after they did their taxes.
Yeah, well, it's because my friend's mom came and picked picked me up from the accountant's office. And the church I grew up in, they did this thing on Wednesdays for kids. And so my friends from school had been begging me to come. And so finally my parents agreed. And so that's how I remember the time of year. It's tax season. But went out there, and then that's the church I ended up growing up in. It's the church I got saved in. I got saved in fifth grade. And we went there from 2005 all the way through when I moved here, basically. So there's a brief stint where I was a church planning intern at a different church, but it was only for about 6 months before Becky and I met, I think. So yeah, I grew up there. And then when I went to school my sophomore year, I got involved with the BSU. I'm also pretty introverted, so it took me a while to go to my BSU because growing up in a small school, I had all my friends and people I was comfortable with, and then went to school and then didn't, lost a lot of that friend group. And I wasn't outgoing enough when I went my freshman year to want to go back. And but my best friend, he started going to the school our sophomore year. And so he dragged me there. It was actually it was our Valentine's night at the BSU.
Was it Jake?
Yeah, it was Jake. And so he dragged me there on Valentine's, our sophomore year, and a second semester. And then I stuck and ended up becoming a leader at the BSU. And yeah, so that's kind of, I think, as far as now, my backstory. Went to the BSU, and then that's how I ended up going on this trip where I met Becky. So Becky has some of her backstory she'd like to share, though.
Yeah. So I grew up in a Christian family. My dad was always involved with ministry, either an interim pastor or collegiate pastor, things like that. And I professed faith and was baptized when I was six, but it was always kind of I'm a Christian because I'm a good kid kind of a situation. And then kind of rode on those coattails for a while there, and then hit high school. And I grew up kind of all over. So we lived down in Southern Illinois when I was born, lived here for a handful of years, moved up to Champaign, Illinois, and lived there for, 10, 11 years, something like that. And then we ended up moving back down to Southern Illinois so my dad could take a pastoral position, and we moved halfway through high school. And right before I moved, ended up in a really abusive relationship with actually our pastor's son at the time. And so my perspective of Christianity was not good. There was some hard stuff that had happened in our home growing up, and then in that relationship, my perspective of a Christian relationship was not healthy. And so when we moved down to Carterville, my goal was to run as far and as fast from that as I could. And I ended up just running from the Lord for years and just wanted nothing to do with church. I didn't want anything to do with Christianity, things like that. So I just kind of ran hard and fast for a while and found out that everything just turned up empty. There was no joy in the things that I was pursuing, and ended up in a long-term relationship that was super on again, off again. And then actually my sister Hannah started talking to me. I mean, for years, she kept saying, you know why you're so anxious? You know why you don't have peace? You know why you don't have joy? And I was like, no, what's going on? She's like, you need the Lord. And I kept telling her, well, tell me anything other than that. Any other reason other than that, because I have seen what Christians are like behind closed doors, and I don't want anything to do with that. And she kept telling me, that's not how Christians are supposed to act. The things that you've experienced are not what it should be. And I still didn't believe her, and I just kept running. And then finally, I was just at a point where I thought, okay, I might as well give it a shot. And so I had started reading my Bible. I had started going back to church, but I just felt very torn between these two worlds. And I remember one summer, actually, I was at a nightclub in Carbondale, and it was a paint party, which was just debauchery and paint everywhere, basically. And I remember having this moment where it was just a thought, not my own. And now looking back, I know it was the Holy Spirit, and he was just saying, this is not what I have for you. And it kind of, it sobered me up in that moment of just, what do you mean? Like, this is all I've known for the last several years. What do you mean? And then anytime I was spending time with the guy that I was dating at the time, there was just, again, just this thought, not my own, from the Holy Spirit of, this is not your husband. This is not your husband. And then the guy that I was dating at the time ended up actually proposing in October of 2014. And it actually sent me into months of panic attacks where I just felt uneasy. I didn't feel any peace. The Lord was just, looking back now, I see how much he was allowing me to feel what it's like to not have the Lord in my life, where it was just wrecked with anxiety and tears. And then Hannah, my sister, kept telling me, she's like, you need to come on this mission, because she saw the Lord moving in my life. And she kept saying, you need to come on this mission trip. I was like, I'm out of college. I've been out of college now for, I graduated college December 2013. And this is, you know, January of 2015. I was like, I'm a teacher. I have, you know, I don't even have money to do that. And that was my first roadblock I put up, was I cannot afford to go on this trip, because a trip costs like $250, $275 to go on. I was like, I can't, there's no way. I can't afford it. And then she kept telling me, she's like, it's okay, God's going to provide. I was like, okay, well, that's cute that you think that, but I need to just stay here. I'll keep reading my Bible. I'll keep trying to decide what to do. And within that time, my roommate, who was also not a Christian at the time, looked at me and she said, you're going to have to choose. You can't have this relationship and your faith. You're going to have to pick. And hearing those words from her was kind of a pretty startling wake up call. And then late, I think it was the week before the trip, I got a refund check in the mail from SIU. I'd been graduated for a year and I get a refund check and they said, oops, you overpaid your tuition by $300. And I called Hannah right away and I said, Hannah, you and God are conspiring against me. And I was edgy about it. I was not laughing about it. I laugh now, and she goes, yeah, we are. But why? And I told her what happened and she goes, this is God telling you, you need to go on the trip. It's like, I don't know. And then it was the morning of the trip, actually, it was like 5 or 6 in the morning. She calls me and she goes, are you packed? Because if you're not, I will come to your house. I will pack your bags and I will drag you to the church. You are going on this trip. And I told her, I was like, I'm not packed. She's like, if you're not at the church at this time, I'm coming and I'm packing you. So I was like, okay. And she's my little sister, but she is stronger than me. And I knew she could take me. So I agreed to go because I knew she meant it. So I packed my bags, just threw stuff in a bag real fast. And I left. And it was my spring break trip my spring break time from teaching too. So I did not just, you know, abandon a classroom full of students. But so I went down I went down to the church, hop in the van. I think I was one of the last. I think I was the last person to show up. I think the team was mm-hmm. waiting on me to get there.
Yeah, we were.
So I get there. I hop in the last seat, which happened to be in the van my dad was in, and some other friends and stuff. And then Brandon's friend Miranda, who is just has a heart for missions and evangelism and the gospel. And so there were just, I spent 10 hours in a van with people talking in depth about theology and all of this stuff. And I had been very like inch deep as far as theology goes. And so I just got kind of fire hydrated that weekend. And then we got there on a Saturday.
Yeah, we got there Saturday night. I know the sun was down because we were right on the beach, like right across the street from the beach. Mm-hmm. But it was dark because we'd been driving all day. And so got there Saturday. Sunday was our free day. We went to church at a local church.
It was a little church plant.
Yeah, it was a little church plant. And then the afternoon was ours. And we went to the beach that afternoon. But it was going to be like our one chill day.
Yeah.
For the trip. And so, and the ministry started Monday. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to.
On Saturday afternoon, there was a whole crew of people, which I'm assuming you were in that crew. Because it was just me and Hannah. And I think a couple of the girls from Illinois that were not all hanging out as a whole crew, because for me, I had all of these other things going on in my head that I was trying to sort through. I knew I wasn't a Christian and I'm on this trip. I felt like an imposter, you know. And Hannah sat me down and she goes, "What is your roadblock? What is keeping you from turning to the Lord?" And I said, "Well, the first roadblock was I had been told time and time and time and time again that I was worthless. I didn't have any value. Nobody would want me." And that's like, you know, quotes that I had heard over and over and over again was, "Nobody wants you. You're worthless now," you know, things like that. And so I just had this, and I knew how horribly I had sinned. I recognized my sin before the Lord. And I remember telling her, "God doesn't want me. There is nothing about me that the Lord wants." And I remember her walking me through Isaiah 43 and telling me about Egypt and Cush and Sabah, like these countries that have so much to offer the Lord as far as material things. And he chose Israel, this tiny nation. And I remember that conversation because she mapped it out in seashells on the beach. Like, she picked the tiniest one to say, "This is Israel. And these big ones over here are these other nations." And God said, "No, I want this one because they're loved and valued and honored in my, or loved in my eyes," you know. And that just broke me down. And it just resonated in my mind over and over. And as we were getting ready to share the gospel with people, of course, all of the sessions beforehand were just heavy on the gospel. Mm-hmm. And Miranda also definitely targeted me and she was also having lots of conversations with me, trying to help me sort through all of that. And then Monday morning on the beach, it was like 5:30, something like that in the morning. And I had gone down to read my Bible on the beach. And I just remember telling the Lord, "I have never been this much at peace." The last 2 days where I've been removed from all of the things that were causing me panic attacks and anxiety and stress and all of those things, being away from that, I felt just the most incredible peace. And I realized in that moment, I knew that I could be walking away from marriage and a family and all of those things, but I wanted the Lord more. And I realized in that moment, I would rather have the Lord and nothing else. As much as I wanted kids and a marriage and all of those things, I wanted the Lord more. And so I repented of my sins and trusted in Christ that morning on the beach. And then we just had like a full day of ministry.
Yeah, we did. We had like service projects. We were split into groups for the trip. And
we were not on the same.
Yeah, we were not in the same. We were like pre-assigned groups and on the kind of like a rotating schedule throughout the week. We would each do something different, some different service project Phil and Paul had set up. And so we were busy with that all day, came back, and then we went out to do ministry, like street ministry stuff in the evening. Is this the recording where I shared about Beach Reach and stuff, or is that the first one?
That was the first one.
Okay, yeah. Basically, Lifeway used to do this. I hope that was the first one you're remembering, right? Lifeway used to do this before COVID. COVID nixed all of Lifeway's collegiate stuff. But they used to do this trip called Beach Reach, where Christian college students would go down and they would offer free van rides to non-Christian college students who were down there partying. And then they would do a pancake breakfast each morning. And the goal was just to meet students where they are, share the gospel with them. And so we were doing a similar style trip, but Phil had organized everything himself. And so in the evenings, we were doing street ministry. We weren't given free van rides because we didn't have the vans. But so we were just walking up and down the street and doing ministry. And so Becky was in the kitchen.
Yeah. So I trusted the Lord that Monday morning. And then it was like first session, service things, this, you know, it was just like packed day.
Yeah.
And I finally had a minute to tell some of the ladies from our church were on the trip preparing meals and stuff for us. And I knew that they had been praying for me to turn to the Lord for years. And so one of them had taken me to coffee and was very sweet and had tried to reach me. And so I wanted to make sure that I had told them what the Lord did in my life. And so I was in the kitchen talking with them and telling them, "Hey, I know that this means that when I come home, this relationship is getting called off. I know that that means I may be, you know, single and childless my whole life, and that's okay, but the Lord means more." And so I was in the kitchen having this conversation with them. And I was talking with them for so long that all of the groups had already been assigned for street ministry.
Right.
Again, for the second time in the trip, I'm the last one to come into the room. And I walk in and one of the leaders was like, hey, you're in this group over here with Brandon and Jordan. Not Jordan Sparks, mm-hmm. different Jordan. Yeah. But you're over here. And I was like, okay, great. And I, at that point, I was very fearful of men. And Brandon, you are 6'3"
mm-hmm.
and not
I'm jacked.
Yeah.
Just not, no.
Not a little guy. And I remember I never felt unsafe with you. And that really stood out to me because I only knew fear and uneasiness and, you know, especially mm-hmm. around Christian men, that was what I was used to. But I got placed in your group and we were literally dropped on a street corner.
Yeah, we were dropped on a street. And if I've actually taken a couple students back on the actual beach, or I've taken one trip back on Beach Reach. This was just a few days before COVID hit and universities were being shut down as we were in PCB because I got into collegiate ministry, as you'll hear later. And the corner we got dropped off on was right between a hotel and a Waffle House. And yeah, and it's kind of like where the frontage road that drives along the beach, you either keep going straight and you go more like into town, or you take a right and you stay along the frontage road. So that's where we got dropped off at, mm-hmm. and ministry started. And I don't know if it was the first couple or the first small group that stopped to talk with us. There was one like defining conversation.
Ryan?
Maybe he was there with his girlfriend, I think, and they were Christians or
had grown up in church, I think.
Maybe, yeah, but they had some Christian background, and I got to share my testimony. I don't know if you did or not.
I did with that. No, because I still was feeling a bit like an imposter.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had just trusted Christ. Obviously, I had the well of things that I had learned growing up to draw from, but was still definitely getting my sea legs. But I remember you sharing your testimony. And I remember thinking, I've never heard someone so genuine, so down to earth, so passionate about the gospel, but not just passionate about the gospel, but I could tell that you genuinely cared for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you had obviously never met these people before, but you loved them so much and you loved the Lord so much that you wanted them to love the Lord. And I could,
this for me, this was right after I kind of had like a light bulb moment with my faith and like leading up to this trip. And so I don't even know if I had ever shared mm-hmm. my testimony, shared the gospel. I was a terrible witness in high school and not laughing at that actually, but just funny to look back on. But this was definitely the most I'd never been in an environment like this, where like the odds are kind of stacked against you and stuff like that. So to actually get, and we had heard Phil talk about his years of experience doing this type of thing at here. He'd shared about doing this down at Mardi Gras with a group he goes down there with. But this was like my first experience of oh, wow, we're actually having a legitimate conversation with, you know, they're not just giving us a few minutes just because they want to be nice, but they're actually like, something is stirring in them. And it was, so for me, that was like a really impactful conversation, but it was also, that was also like our first
interaction,
real interaction for the trip. And as I said, I had noticed Becky before and I was happy that she was in our group, but
why were you happy?
I don't know. I just was. And I didn't go down there looking for anything, but you know, you're a young, Becky's a few years older than me. I just like to tell people, but meaning that, you know, you go down there as like as a young 20s kid, you're like, you're going to look to see, oh, what girls are on this trip? You know, it's just something that, it's just like a church camp thing growing up, you know? And so, but that was our first real interaction. And just for the sake of time, we should probably get past this trip. But we just stayed talking throughout the trip. And the trip was also just really sweet in that our groups meshed. So almost like instantly, like before we even got to Florida, you would have thought our groups had spent, like you would have thought we were all from the same place and we were all buddies and stuff. So it was just a really sweet trip. And
on the way home. And we
did ride together on the way home.
We didn't talk tons on... we talked a little bit here and there throughout the week. I remember interacting with you at the beach our last night there when we did communion and stuff together, but with everybody, the whole group did communion. That was a super sweet night. But I remember, I'm pretty sure you strategically placed yourself in the van because I chose not to ride in the bus because I was going home.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
I knew I was going home to a confrontation, and I am not a confrontational person. It stresses me out, and I've grown in it over the years, but I knew I was going home to a really hard conversation, and I did not want to spend 10 hours in the bus with a bunch of people, you know. And so we got in the van, and lo and behold, there was some seat switching. I was already in the van. There was some seat switching, and you ended up in the van.
I made my way onto the van, yeah. I don't remember how I did, but I did. And so, that trip was the first week in March. Mm-hmm. I think we met like March 3rd or 4th
One more detail, though. So we came home. We're on our way home from the church or from the trip, and I told everybody, hey, when I get home, that we all shared our testimonies. I think that was your suggestion, too. You're like, we should get to know each other really well. Everyone should share their testimonies.
10 out of 10 move on my part.
That was a really good, a line. That was a Christian dude line of, let's all share our testimonies and get to know each other.
It was kind of just like a Hail Mary. I'm about to drive 6 hours home the next day, so I was trying to make a Hail Mary.
It worked.
It did.
So we shared our testimonies, and I shared all of my backstory and details and stuff, and said, when I get home, this relationship has to end, and this is why, and all those things. And I said, please pray that I'd have strength to do that. And then we came home, and he was actually in the parking lot waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I knew about the relationship, like, found out about it, like, Monday or Tuesday. I think it was probably Tuesday. And I was like, God, man, like, what are my chances? You know, dang it. And then I found out, I think, on the way home that it was Indy, and I was like, nice. I still a long shot, but there's a chance. Well,
I don't know if you remember this. So I called everything off. We had that. He and I talked for about 45 minutes in the parking lot. I came inside, and I was crying. And Miranda was, some of the girls were like, oh, she's so sad. And Miranda goes, no, she's relieved. Mm-hmm. This is a cry of relief because Miranda had spent a lot of time talking with me. She knew where I really was with everything. So Brandon comes in with a good old Christian side hug and his next Hail Mary, which was, can I pray for you?
Genuine. It was well-timed. It was genuine, but also worked out in my favor as well. So
it did, because you definitely stood out in my mind for sure.
Yeah. But our trip was, I think we met on March 3rd, March 4th. I remember that because that was 2015. March 3rd or 4th of 2016, we were on our honeymoon. So, and we were like, hey, it was crazy. We just met each other a year ago, and here we are sitting on our honeymoon. So hopefully, not to blaze through this, but we'll share what happened between those two March 3rds or March 4th. So, yeah, we went home, and there's still some chatter between our groups. And I got home, and I shared my pastor he pastored my church for over 35 years. We just went to his retirement a couple of years ago. So I forget the exact year, but great guy. Wouldn't want to have grown up with any different pastor. And he was our Sunday school teacher. And he started that, I think, about the time that I started college. And so we get home, and me and there was another girl from my church that went on the trip. And so he wanted to hear about the trip. So we shared about the trip and basically took up the whole 45-minute Sunday school because it was right between both services we had, and sharing about our trips and stuff. And it ended with him. He was getting ready to go to China because one of his daughters was a missionary. His son and his family. His other daughter was a missionary in a different country, but they were getting ready to go to China to visit his son and their family. And he, for 3 weeks, and he asked me if I would preach one of those. Now, I'm introverted, do not like to talk in front of people. And it was everything against the grain of me. And I told him I'd think about it and ended up doing it. And I said, just give me like the last week that you're going to be gone, so I have the most amount of time to prepare. And still wasn't thinking much of it in terms of ministry and what the future might hold until one of the other men in the church was like, have you thought of maybe you're called to ministry? And I was like, you know, growing up, I maybe wanted to be a youth pastor because I loved my youth pastor. And I thought, man, I want to be just like him, but didn't ever really see it as like a viable, like, you know, I can't play guitar, I can't sing, I can't do all the things that, you know, I can love people, but that's about it. And I can relate to younger people, but again, I was like, that's not really a viable future, I don't think, until this guy at our church asked me. And I was like, well, maybe, I don't know. I'll pray about it. And so that was sometime in April was when I preached. And
you invited.
I did.
People from Illinois.
I invited everybody.
You did.
I did invite everybody, but only there were three girls that went on the trip and five girls. No, three guys. I said there were three guys. There were five girls, and the five girls were the only ones that came. And so they came, and that was kind of like the first landmark between of when we saw each other again. And
that was when Hannah, my younger sister, was starting to get a little bit tipped off. Mm-hmm. She watched me watch you in the sermon, and she's like, I think you might. I was like, I don't, he, like, there's no right. possible way. He lives 6.5 hours away.
And I thought I would live in Northwest Missouri for forever.
And I, at that point, and I remember telling Hannah, I want nothing to do with a man in ministry, because I had been so burned by, you know, things in the past that I said, I don't want a man involved in ministry at all. So then, fun fact about us, Brandon and I have the same birthday.
Yeah.
So we planned a joint birthday trip with our groups. And again, each time the groups were planned, they got smaller.
Mm-hmm.
We were common denominators. We kept, you know.
Yeah. When they came to us to hear me preach, they're a big portion of our group of like 25 or 30 people. Like, we got together and hung out for the week, because they came in on a Friday night, I think. So we hung out all day Saturday. They heard me preach Sunday. We went out to lunch Sunday, and then they left. But yeah, we planned a birthday trip to St. Louis, which was kind of like a halfway point. It's about 3.5 hours for us. And the only people I could get to come with me were two buddies that didn't even go on the trip. One was Jake, and then our friend Chase, who was a couple years younger than us. He was in my sister's grade.
I think all the girls still came.
Gabe came, who was one of the guys. He came for the day, but he didn't stay the night.
That's right.
Because me, Jake, and Chase were trying to figure out, all right, who's going to sleep in a bed with Gabe? And because we had a hotel room with two queen beds, and then Gabe ended up having to dip out early. And so, yeah, so our next kind of like landmark thing was our birthday. And we met at Panera. Or it's not Panera, it's Bread Company. It's St. Louis Bread Company, yeah.
Yeah, we went to the Cardinals game. Next day, we got some pizza. Mm-hmm. I remember I still felt like you were out of my league. There was no way in the world that a guy like you was going to fall for a girl like me. I just had that in my head. And I remember, so I hadn't told the girls that were from the trip here that I was crushing,
mm-hmm.
because it was unrealistic, you know? And I was like, I would love I remember praying, Lord, a guy like Brandon would be great, but one that will accept me and love me,
yeah,
with all of my past. And I remember walking back into the hotel room, Jesse backhanded me across the arm. And Jesse is the most mild, sweetest, kindest, one of the most loving women I've ever met in my life. And she backhands me. She goes, why didn't you tell me? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, you and Brandon like each other. I was like, he does not like me.
Yeah, when neither of us have expressed a thing at this point.
No.
And the funny thing is, we walked, me, Chase, and Jake walk into the hotel room, and Chase verbatim says, Brandon, you have to marry one of those girls. And I said, and I responded with, I'm trying. Obviously with Becky in mind. And it was just, it was a fun trip. But we didn't have anything planned after that. So that was May 31st, the end of May, beginning of June.
And then my friend Miranda from the trip came down. She spent a week with me, and we just hung out. And she knew that you were crushing. She mm-hmm. knew that I was, but had also kind of just said, no, there's no way, you know. And so she played matchmaker, actually. And she ended up texting you and saying, hey, Becky and I just went on a hike over here at Garden of the Gods, and we think it'd be really cool to go on a hike and have a worship session out here. Are you and Jake, or would you and some of the people, I think she said mm-hmm. you and Jake, would you guys be down for that? You responded, and I wanted to crawl in a hole.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how dare you text this guy? There's no way. You responded so fast, babe.
Yeah. Well, me and Jake lived together, and we were both at the house at the same time. And I showed him this.
Listen a minute.
And yeah, I showed him, I said, hey, look at this. And not thinking like, yeah, this will be fun, but we're not going to do it. And I just show him the text, and he goes, yeah, let's go. And it was like leaving the next day type of thing. And because I think it was a Thursday, and we left on a Friday, and then we had to be back. Jake and I were both doing the same church planning internship, and so we had to be back for the Sunday morning service. So that was a Thursday, and we left Friday, and then it was just me and him. And so
the group was getting smaller.
Yeah, so we went for the weekend. We showed up in the afternoon on Friday, and
we just hung out. We went for a hike. We mm-hmm. did go hiking at Garden of the Gods, and you and I, that was one of the times we had talked more in person, I think, than we mm-hmm. ever had at that point. And then we did a slip and slide at my parents' house, and then ate a bunch of pizza, came inside, and you and I started talking at the counter at that point mm-hmm. at dinner time or after dinner time. And then we just didn't stop.
Yeah, everybody went to bed, and we chatted.
We talked all through the night, and I remember mm-hmm. my dad would periodically just walk through, and you were sitting at one end of the counter, I'm sitting all the way at the other end of the counter, you know. And
yeah, it was from like 10 p.m. until like 6 in the morning, mm-hmm. I think. The sun started to come up, and we were like, we should probably get some sleep. Mm-hmm. And then we went to bed. I think we got back up at like 10 o'clock or so. Yeah. I think it wasn't long. Yeah. It was just a few hours. I remember it was just a few hours because I was
one of us was upstairs. One of us was downstairs. Yeah. Just to distinguish that.
And yeah. And then we hung out the next day. We went to a 4th of July thing in town, and at Jesse's parents' house, they had a pool mm-hmm. right next to the park where they did the fireworks for the city. And so that's where we watched fireworks from. And then Jake was like, hey, let's get on the road. And I'm like, no, let's just wait a little bit longer until it was very late. It was like, I don't remember exactly. It was 9, 10 o'clock. And then I was like, all right, fine, Jake, it was later than that because it doesn't get dark at midsummer until late. So it might've been midnight but when we left. I drove to St. Louis, and then I was like, Jake, I can't do this any longer. I need you to drive for a little bit. And Jake ended up driving the rest of the way. We get stuck in traffic. This is a little bit of just a side story, but it's a miracle that we made it home because we were both so tired. And little I know, that would be the first of many of those overnight trips. The whole week after that was when we were texting.
That was the first time that we actually started texting.
Like one-on-one, because we had group text with our mm-hmm. with our mission trip group, and that's the only way that we were communicating. And then that was just periodically.
And then I was getting ready to see my sister, and I wake up to a phone call. You'd never called me before.
Oh, hold on. Before we get here, so we get home on Sunday, and I'm thinking, man, like, I told Jake, we talked about this a few times throughout the week. I was like, I think I have to go back, and I have to ask her out. And our friend Cody lived with us as well. And Cody was all for me. He's like, yeah, like, go ahead, do it, you know? And I was like, and Jake was very much against me doing it. Not because he didn't like Becky, but he goes, what if she says no? That's going to suck. And I was like, Jake, I think the gesture will be nice, though. I don't think she's going to say no. I was just going to ask her out. And like to like make things official, like not just go on a date, but like, you know, we're not doing this whole like talking stage thing. And Jake was like, I don't think you should do it, dude. I think it's really risky. I think just give her a phone call. And I'm like, no, I can't just give her a phone call about this. This needs to be like in person. And so Jake did like give his blessing. Oh, and it was after the fact. And it was because he didn't give his blessing because he wanted to give his blessing. He wanted to protect me in a way. But I found out that you were leaving for your sister's.
Yes.
Because I was I was going to wake up Saturday morning. This would have been the July 11th. And I was going to wake up Saturday morning, drive, get there about midday, and ask her out. And I found out, I texted her sister Hannah to make sure that would work. And she said, well, actually, she's leaving at like 6 in the morning Saturday. And so
I did not.
She did not. She did still go.
I did.
That day, but left a few hours later. But
yeah, I woke up to a phone call from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you had never called me before. We'd only texted. And you said, hey, come outside. And I said, what do you mean, come outside? And I remember telling you, so tired. Like, I can't come outside and be in Missouri. You know that, right? And you just start laughing and you say, come outside. And you hung up. I was like, well, I guess I'm going up outside. So I go outside and Brandon is standing on the, in the.
I was at the top of the stairs.
At the top of the stairs. Yeah. And we went and sat on the front porch and we talked, and he had a Bible and he'd written this super sweet letter in the front of it. And then he had three white roses marking three different passages of scripture. And he walked me through each one of those passages and then asked me if I would go out with him. And not just like, will you go on a date, but can we actually date? You made it very clear that you wanted to date with the intention of marriage. And of course I said yes, and I was just absolutely blown away, because in my head the whole time I thought, there's no way he's not going to go for a girl like me. And I remember even telling you that as we were sitting and talking, going, but I just want you to understand, like, I think you deserve better. And you just, I remember you laughing at me, just be like, nope, I want to date you. Okay, we're going to date. And I was like, okay. So yeah, we started dating. We dated.
Yeah, and fun fact, I actually got a speeding ticket on the way.
Oh, you did.
I did, and I already have a lead foot, and I had the three roses, but I had them in a vase with water. And then I had the Bible, but I was like, I can't just buckle these flowers in. Like, I want them to stay nice, and I don't want water going everywhere. And so I think I had them in water.
You did.
I did. But basically, I held the vase between my legs, all like in my lap, all the way there.
6.5 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just had a little Cavalier, and I thought, surely, I was leaving Kansas City, and if you don't know the drive, it's basically interstate from Kansas City straight across to St. Louis, out of St. Louis for a little bit, and then south for about an hour or so. But most of it is interstate, and I was leaving Kansas City on the interstate, and I had the thought, even if I get pulled over, there's no way a cop gives me a ticket when I have a Bible and these white roses, and I tell him why I'm leaving. And I was coming up on Columbia, which is about halfway across Missouri, and there was a semi in the left lane, and I'm already going 80 in a 70, and I think I'm just going to pass him real quick on the right. Or I was going 82 in a 70, and I passed him on the right, and I went over 90, and then trooper hits his lights and pulls me over, sees the flowers, sees the Bible, and he's a trooper, so he's not going to let me go. But he did just write the ticket for the 82, because he had already been following me for a little bit, because I was going 12 over. And so I was like, well, I'll take that, because otherwise that would have been a 20-plus mile-an-hour ticket. And so it was just funny that I had that thought leaving. There's no way I'm getting a ticket, even if I speed a little bit. And I got one.
Yeah, and that wasn't a little
bit. It wasn't the first ticket on my drives either. Right. I did get another one. But so that was July 11th. And then we didn't go a weekend. Obviously, I was living in Missouri. She was in Illinois. But we didn't miss a weekend. I moved to Carbondale on, I think, December 10th of 2015, and we didn't miss a single weekend seeing each other. So
the road back and forth.
Yeah, but I ended up, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was about to skip ahead.
We were going to say the same thing. But yeah, we dated for 4 months, and then November, and when we started dating right off the bat, he had come out of a long-term relationship. I had two, and neither one of us really wanted to waste any time. So we're like, we're going to find out real fast if we're the person God has for us. And so we're just going to ask all the hard questions right up front. And if at any point there's a red flag, we're done, kind of thing. And I remember walking back from, we had just met up with your family, and I had met your parents before and really loved them, but I hadn't met your sister. And we were walking back. We had watched her perform at a college dance. She had did a dance for her college.
Oh, yeah.
She was on the dance team. And so she had a performance. We had walked up from your grandma's house, and we're walking back, and I was real quiet. And you're like, what's wrong? What's going on? And I was like, I'm really scared right now. And you're like, what's going on? And I said, I don't know if we're going to work out. Your sister. And you're like, why? What? You know, you were really shocked and thrown off. And I said, your sister does not like me at all. You said, what makes you think that? She likes you just fine. I said, no. Did you see how she looked at me? She hates me. We can't get married if your family and does not like me, that's not going to work out. And you laughed so hard. You go, oh, no, that's just her face.
Yeah. And Shania has like the trademark resting grouchy face.
Yes.
PG version. Resting so grouchy face for anybody and everybody.
But now Shania is one of my best friends. And so it's funny. It's funny that that was the only red flag for me while we were dating was your sister doesn't like me. And now she's one of my best friends. But and then in November, you proposed and super sweet. You took me out to Garden of the Gods. I thought you were going to break up with me because you were driving so slowly on the way there.
The way it had to go was I had never yelled at Becky before. I'd never raised my voice, nothing like that. And her family wanted to be there at the proposal. So I said, yeah, sure, you guys go ahead. So I asked Becky, her family was in town for Thanksgiving. And just a bunch of family around. So I said, hey, you want to go out and get some lunch together just so we can get some time for this, the two of us? And she said, I had to get her out of the house. Mm-hmm. And so we go to Applebee's and I thought her family was going to leave like 5 minutes after us and get out there. Mm-hmm. Doesn't take two people that long to eat at Applebee's, you know?
And I decided to play footsie with you.
I kicked
the ring box.
I did. I had like the Nike socks that all the guys wore. It went like halfway up your shin. And the ring box it was her grandma's ring, but they didn't have the ring box. So the place I got it cleaned gave me a ring box, and this thing was massive, you know. And I was like, it's definitely not fitting in my pocket, and I don't know where to put this thing. So I just put it in my sock, and I wore the taller socks to keep it there at the bottom of my leg. And then I had my jeans over it, and I'm already getting a little bit nervous at Applebee's because her family has not left yet. And it was like 45 minutes later, they said, all right, hey, we're on the way. And I'm like, well, we are almost done eating at this point, and I have to kill some time because they have to walk a good like half mile up this trail uphill, and her grandpa was there, and so it was going to take him a little bit longer. And I was like, I got to kill some time. And so the speed limit was 65 on this road. Yep. Becky was always getting on to me about my speed. And so I was going.
Rightfully so.
And she at one point kicked the ring box. She was trying to play footsie with me at Applebee's. And I snapped at her. And I said, quit it. And white face. And she was floored, like, oh, my gosh, what did I do wrong? And then from there, I drove 10 under all the way to kill some time.
So the whole way there, I'm sitting in the seat going, he's going to break up with me. We've had nothing go wrong. He hasn't said anything has gone wrong, you know. And like I said, from the beginning, we said we were going to be really honest if anything had come up. And I was like, he's about to dump me. We're going to go on this hike. I don't think I knew we were going to Garden of Gods. Mm-hmm. I think I just knew we were going hiking or something. But I thought, he's going to break up with me. So the whole way there, I'm just quiet and I'm not saying anything. And I can tell that he is on edge. He's tense. And I'm just thinking, he's going to break up with me. I'm going to lose.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to drive Becky an hour away to break up with her and then drive her back. Yeah, that would be a great plan.
We got there. Everybody got there. And then he had this little table set up at Garden of the Gods. And he recreated how he asked me out, but even sweeter. So he had this little table set up, and a couple came through the woods before us and actually started moving the roses and stuff in the Bible. And I remember my brother had to run like Sasquatch through the woods.
Yeah, it was just like that famous Sasquatch film of Sasquatch walking.
Because all my family was hiding behind trees. And all of a sudden I saw the table and I saw a couple stop and I was like, oh, somebody's looking at something in the woods, you know. And then I see my brother, who doesn't even live here, come running out like Sasquatch through the woods, just bounding. And my brother is a computer engineer. I have never seen him run like that in my life. And I looked at Brandon and I said, that's Peter. And he goes, what are you talking about? And he was, you know, trying to play it off because we're not there yet. And I said, that was my brother. What is my brother doing in the woods? You're like, I don't know. That's not Peter.
That's not Peter.
And then we get up to the table and you had the You had three different passages marked, and they were different ones this time. He had written a different letter in the front of the Bible and walked me through those, and it was precious and wonderful. And then asked me to be his wife, and I said yes, 1,000 times yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I was just stunned for a second, because then I noticed it was my grandma's ring, too, that you proposed with, and then we prayed about where we were going to live, which one of us was going to move, and God provided you a job here in collegiate ministry. And then our whole engagement was just, we were engaged three months.
3 months.
It was supposed to be longer, but then the venue that we wanted was only available February 27th or like crazy later in the year.
Right.
And so we're like, well, I guess we're having a 3 month engagement. So we, but God just provided everything. We had a friend who provided the decor for us, who was a wedding designer. He did all of our decorations, and families at the church provided all the cupcakes and the food, and they helped with the decorations. And a lady that was there did all of our pictures. And then it was a few days before our wedding, started to worry that you were going to regret marrying me. And I pulled you aside. It was you were at my parents' kitchen, and we had just finished some wedding planning and stuff, and you were getting ready to go. And I was like, but you could tell I was just uneasy. And you're like, what's going on? Just talk to me. Tell me what's going on. And I was like, I wanted to give you an out. It's like, I want you to understand that you're not getting a perfect bride. You're getting someone who has made bad decisions. I come with baggage. I come with a past. I come with a lot of hard stuff. And I want you you deserve better. Basically is what I was telling you. And I remember just crying and standing there saying, I want you, I love you so much that I want you to have the kind of girl you deserve. And I'm not the kind of girl you deserve. And if you feel like you need to back out of the wedding, basically. And I remember you looked at me and you just laughed and you said, listen, I don't care anything about your past. I just want to be part of your future. And I cried, and you laughed at me a little bit, sweetly.
Is that verbatim?
Sweetly left me. Yes, verbatim.
What a line.
I know. That line is in my head. And then on our wedding day, I walked down the aisle, and my dad gave me away to you. And there was a moment there in between when the music was going to start, because we sang a couple worship songs at the beginning. So there was a moment between giving me away and then the music starting, and you leaned over and you whispered in my ear, you're perfect. And it was just the sweetest, most wonderful moment. And what a beautiful picture of Christ in the church and how he sees us and loves us and knows everything and still just loves us. And that's always been a precious memory to me of our wedding day.
Yeah, I actually forgot that before this, Becky.
He did. He did. And it was one of the most precious memories to me. I was like, this was the sweetest thing ever. This man has ever. And he said a lot of sweet things to me. But that was one of the
sweetest. I do remember that now that you said that. But she said, I was going to share something about a wedding day that you told me. And I'm like racking my brain. Is this before the ceremony? Is this during? Can't be during, you know? Oh, that was scripted. And it was like, was it at the reception? I can't remember, you know.
Sweet.
And... but yeah, and then the fun fact, our 10 years next week. So this has just been a nice little walk, you know, fun little walk down memory lane as well. And we also don't celebrate Valentine's Day, really, because our anniversary is so close. So it's kind of fitting that we're the after Valentine's Day story. But
yeah, we had, God's blessed us a lot in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had Haven. She was our first daughter.
Mm-hmm.
We lost her when I was almost 11 weeks pregnant. But even through that was... obviously hard, but God carried us through and then blessed us with Jack. And when I was pregnant with Jack, I remember I had been convicted that I wasn't baptized after trusting in Christ, but I felt like it would be weird because I was baptized when I was 6 and people just assumed, you know, and I felt really convicted about that. And then you actually got to baptize me when I was pregnant with Jack. I think I was about 15, 16 weeks along.
Yep. And Jack was a time when we weren't trying to have kids either, because we weren't having any luck. And so we're like, well, maybe we're just going to adopt and put having kids on pause for a little bit. And we came home and Becky, you took a test for some reason.
my hormones, or I was freezing, and all of my students were wilting. Mm-hmm. And my teacher's aide came up to me and said, "Hey, I think you might have something hormonal going on. Are you okay?" And the word hormonal clicked mm-hmm. with me. And yeah, I came home, took a test, found out.
And she screamed from our apartment bathroom.
I did.
And I was like, "What is wrong?" And it wasn't a good scream. It was like a terrifying scream. And she walked out and said she was pregnant. And I was like, "Oh, that's great," you know. And
but we were in process to adopt from Colombia.
Yeah, like Becky had. I was putting off writing. You had to do this big old biography or very long essay type thing. Or no, you had to answer all those questions.
All those questions,
like 130 questions or something like that. And I had not started on it yet. Becky's was done, and I was putting it off because I was like, I do not want to answer all these questions. And so I was putting off. So when we got pregnant, I was like, "Oh, thank goodness, I don't have to do all those questions."
And you were relieved.
Oh, I definitely was.
That's funny. Well, it was. Well, the funny part was we found out we were expecting Jack, and then the next morning we got an email from the adoption agency, and they said, "Actually, you have been placed on hold because you weren't old enough." Yeah. I was, and you were not.
Yeah.
So it was
actually, you had to be 25 or mm-hmm. something for the other country. I wasn't mm-hmm. old enough for the other country.
But yeah, so we found out we were expecting Jack, and mm-hmm. then we had him in 2018, and then we had little Juniper in 2021. Mm-hmm. And then we had Elsie 2023, bought a house. When June was a few weeks old,
yeah,
that was
June
crazy.
Was 3 weeks old, bought a house. Mm-hmm. And
recommend that.
Got a great 2.75% COVID rate. So that's God's blessing to us. And house has been great. And
I remember one time when we had lost, since after losing Haven, there was one time when we thought we were losing June mm-hmm. and a time we thought we were losing Elsie. Mm-hmm. And I remember June specifically, we went in and they started the ultrasound. I'd had some bleeding, and I just knew in my head, I was like, we lost this baby too. And I remember she was jumping up and down like a little gummy bear. Mm-hmm. She was waving her arms going, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm here. Sorry yep. for the scare," you know. And so that was an incredible moment. And then Elsie too, she's an incredible little blessing. And mm-hmm. we were blessed with Nathaniel for 9 weeks this last year. He's with the Lord now too. But through it all, lots of valleys.
Yeah, I know that's more of a, this has been more of a story of our story and not, mm-hmm. but obviously God's faithfulness woven through it and his grace and gifts and provision. And we could talk, we're already an hour in, so we could talk for a couple hours on all the small details, but.
God's done a lot in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, it's been fun. Yeah.
I still like you a lot.
That's good.
Still crushing on you.
Ditto.
Ditto.
But yeah, any closing? Our stories were already longer than the other two. Yeah, so
It is. But we're the last one. So
yeah.
I don't think so. I think I know Jared and Jordan encourage people to do this. And I think Ben and Kate mentioned it too. But Brandon and I realized we've never sat down and told each other our story. And we've never just sat down and gone back over all of the goodness and all of the things, and believe it or not, this is the condensed version. So mm-hmm. if you haven't done this with your spouse, 1,000% sit down with them, eyes to eyes, and just reminisce on all of the goodness of God. Because even though, like I said, you know, you and I have had lots of valleys, and there's been lots of heartache, and we've walked through a lot together, there's been so much good in so many ways that God has blessed us and been good to us and kind to us. And sometimes you forget that. And sometimes mm-hmm. all the heart is what kind of sticks out in your mind. But
yeah,
take time, sit down with your spouse, tell them you love them, tell them why you love them, and tell each other your story.